This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Happy New Year. The end of 2013 also brought the end to the wolf hunting season in northern Michigan. The hunting and killing of up to 43 wolves was authorized for three different regions of the Upper Peninsula. As of yesterday, the state had reported that 22 had been taken. Wolves were removed from the endangered species list in 2012. The Department of Natural Resources has said that the hunt is necessary to manage the wolf population in Michigan. There has been debate over the science used to determine that a wolf hunt was needed. But Michigan Technological University biologist John Vucetich says science is only part of a bigger picture. WMUK correspondent Brian Peterson is also an assistant professor of environmental studies at Western Michigan University. He spoke with John Vucetich in November.
There has been sharp disagreement about whether hunting wolves is necessary. I'm wondering, what's your perspective on this?
I don't think that hunting an animal population is ever, like, necessary. And this is kind of the important thing. It might be a good idea or it might be a bad idea to hunt a certain population, but necessity is really not much to play about it. So when you kill a living creature, it's important that there be a good reason for doing so, and that we have the ability to do so. That's probably not a good enough reason. That science says we need to is probably not quite the right reason, because science doesn't ever tell us how we should behave. Science just describes to us what the world is like around us. And so the reasons that have been offered for why we should hunt wolves are basically twofold. One is to protect human safety, and the other is to reduce threats to livestock. The idea that wolves are a threat to human safety is just a fabrication. That's not really true. And in the very, very rare instances where wolves are a threat to human safety, that needs to be dealt with immediately and thoroughly and precisely. But hunting is not any of those things, and it's just not a sensible way to deal with human safety. The livestock issue, losses of livestock are for those farmers who lose livestock. It's a big deal, and we need to do what's responsible and right to make that better for those folks. But the main thing is that everything we know about protecting livestock tells us that we have to be precise and thorough and timely in the following ways: that when there's a farm that has a threat to its livestock, you need to be on that farm within days or weeks after the threat occurs. You got to be focused on the wolves that are actually causing the problem. But hunting takes place in November and December, and that's many months after most depredation events take place. And so, it's just livestock is an important thing, but hunting is not a sensible way to deal with that problem.
Give us a sense of the extent to which wolves are preying on livestock in Michigan.
Oh, well, this year, 2013, the number of cattle that will be killed by wolves will be something in the neighborhood of 12. And so that raises another issue, which is, does it really make sense to kill, some 45 or so wolves to try to reduce that number of, about a dozen livestock killed when the wolves that are going to be killed are very likely not even the ones involved with killing the livestock? So it's relatively speaking, it's really quite a small number of livestock that are killed.
I wanted to ask you about the Natural Resource Commission, which is the body, the state body that determined whether we were going to have a hunt. And they did, in fact, determine we were going to have one and selected 43 as the number of animals they were going to allow to be culled. How was that number selected, or what was the basis for that number?
Well, it was done, and this is not just the Natural Resource Commission that's responsible for this. This is really, they have, in some sense, final authority over the details. But Michigan DNR played a large role in coming to this plan as well. And the basic idea is that they wanted to have a harvest that was geographically focused. And so they picked three areas within the Upper Peninsula where they thought threats to human safety and livestock were greatest. And then what they wanted to do is they wanted to have a level of harvest that they thought would have a good chance of reducing abundance in those areas. And that involves a little bit of math and some field work to know how many wolves live in those areas and how many would you have to harvest, reduce abundance by a bit. And through that kind of evaluation, they came up with the number 43. And so that's how they came up with that number.
And what do you think will happen if there are indeed 43 wolves that are going to be culled?
Well, in terms, it's a good question. In terms of the population, probably very little. 43 is a small number of wolves to be killed in a population that's as large as what Michigan has, and so the safety of the population is really quite secure by this. But I think what's important to know is that's not the point. The point would be is that you shouldn't kill a living creature without a good reason. I have not met a hunter that believes otherwise, or at least one that's willing to admit that they believe otherwise, And so the standard for whether we should hunt is not, can we do so without harming the population? The standard for whether we should hunt is there a good reason to kill a living creature? And for wolves, the answer is probably no.
So give us a sense of what the population is like in Michigan. How many are there, and is it relatively healthy in your estimation?
Oh, yeah, there's in excess of 700 wolves by some measure, and it's really a very healthy population in a lot of ways. I think that wolves in Michigan and in other states where wolves exist are simultaneously one of our greatest conservation success stories, and they are also one of our greatest conservation failures. And they are both at the same time because, well, wolves have done so spectacularly well, and that's why it's such a great success. And they've done so spectacularly well because we've decided as a society that we don't want to, you know, over-harvest them or poach them to such high degrees that it causes their abundances to be impaired. And so that's a great thing. But, of course, that wolves have caused us to think that it's okay to hunt things without having a good reason for doing so. That's how it brings out, in some cases, the worst in us.
Give us a sense of how this situation in Michigan differs from the wolf situation out west in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, for example, where they're also having hunts going on. Is it the same situation?
Oh, it's similar, and it's similar in the sense that one of the biggest motivations for hunting wolves in all of these places is that people hate wolves, or enough people hate wolves, and hatred is not a good reason to kill things, and that's the strongest common denominator among all six states where there's wolf harvesting. There are other common denominators, mainly being concern about what impact wolves have on livestock and prey. Here the prey are white-tailed deer. Out west, it's mostly elk. But the details are a little bit different. Out west, hunting of elk a little more frequently involves guides, hunting guides. Out west, there's livestock industry is a little bit more influential than it is here, say, in the state of Michigan, in terms of the pressure that the livestock industry puts on an interest to hunt wolves. But those differences are, you know, kind of relatively minor.
So hunting is really quite important in Michigan for deer and so forth. Are you concerned at all that we're going to have too many wolves that will prey upon deer and then limit the availability for hunters?
No. There's a couple of things about it. One is that the effect of predators on their prey, or the effect of wolves on white-tailed deer, is complicated and not easy to figure out. It's fine to believe that in some cases wolves may cause deer populations to decline some, but wolves are not going to cause deer to become decimated. They're not going to remove our ability to hunt deer. It's just not going to happen. The thing that affects deer most in the state of Michigan are things like severe winters and the amount of logging that takes place in various parts of the Upper Peninsula. When there's more logging, then there's more treetops that are on the ground, and then that's an important food supply for deer in the wintertime. So logging and winter severity are far more important in affecting deer abundance than wolves are.
So this issue about managing the wolf population is quite controversial and contested. What do you see as the best approach for addressing how to best manage the wolf population?
Oh, well, I think honesty and transparency are kind of are important issues. There's been a fair number of lies told about why we're hunting wolves, and lies told about the circumstances that are around, and so that's got to stop. I mean, that's not a good way to manage anything. And So I think the most important thing we can do to start doing right by our natural resources and to do right by the citizens of the state of Michigan is for folks who are in favor of hunting wolves to say honestly what their reasons for wanting to do so and to make sure that the reasons they want to do so are consistent with what's known scientifically about wolves. And if we were to do that, it would be a very different conversation about hunting. And so that's the most important thing, I think, is honesty and transparency.
So what is the information that has not been honest so far in this whole debate?
Oh, I think the level of threat that wolves represent to humans and the circumstances under which hunting is likely to affect threats to livestock. There's a good amount of science on both of those topics, and they're basically inconsistent with what the plan is proposing, which is basically just that wolves are not the threat to humans that they have been portrayed, and livestock losses are very unlikely to be made better by harvest. And there are other ways to deal with losses to livestock that are more effective.
What would those means be to decrease the amount of depredation occurring in livestock from wolves?
Oh, there's two things. One is that the DNR has been in the habit for more than a decade now of when there are losses of livestock or serious threats of losses of livestock, trappers can be sent to that farm to remove those wolves. And that's got to be done really promptly, and it costs money to do so. There's no doubt about that. But if what we want to do is protect livestock, science is pretty clear that that kind of approach is one of the most effective ways to do it. And there are techniques that lead up to actual trapping and removal of wolves. There's use of phylactery, use of guard animals, the guard dogs and so forth, and use of other, cracker shell and this sort of a thing. Those things have differing levels of effectiveness. Some are more effective in some cases, sometimes less effective, but there's kind of a progression of ramping up the amount of effort until the problem is solved. And those things are going to be more valuable and more useful than hunting.
Now, there are many people who just think we should be able to hunt, and hunters think, they say there's plenty of wolves. Why not allow a hunt if we want to? What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah. The most important thing is that you shouldn't kill something without a good reason, and so you have to have a good reason to hunt wolves. And the most important reason that I can figure out here is that some people want to hunt wolves because they hate them, and hatred's not a good reason to kill anything. And that's the reason that we shouldn't do it. It's not in our tradition to kill things because we hate stuff.
Are there any arguments that you've heard that you find persuasive as to why we should have some hunting?
No, I haven't heard any.
I also want to ask you about the status of the wolves. They were on the federal endangered species list for some time and have since been removed. What is their legal status currently?
In the Upper Great Lakes, which includes Michigan, they are delisted, and so they don't have any federal protection, so the management belongs entirely to the state of Michigan. The question otherwise is a little complicated, and it's complicated because wolves are managed across the United States under the Endangered Species Act in different regions, and one of the regions is the Upper Great Lakes, which I just described. Another region is the Northern Rockies, which includes, for the most part, a three-state region, Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. Wolves are also delisted there, no longer protected by the Endangered Species Act. Wolves are protected by the Endangered Species Act in the desert southwest, a subspecies of wolf called the Mexican wolf. There's also a proposal by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and this is where it gets a little complicated and nuanced, a proposal to delist wolves throughout the entire lower 48, and excepting for the Mexican wolf and excepting for red wolves, which are in the Carolinas. And a person could say, well, what's this all about? The basic idea is that there are places where wolves used to be, for example, the Northeast, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and the Pacific Northwest, just to name a couple places, where wolves once had been. And decisions by the Fish and Wildlife Service up to this point have in a sense, been silent about what we should do with wolves in those areas, because the decisions of the Fish and Wildlife Service up until now have only been about these particular regions, the Great Lakes and the Northern Rockies. And so this past summer, the Fish and Wildlife Service made a proposed rule that would say that wolves would be delisted throughout the lower 48, again, with the exception of Mexican wolves and red wolves. And that proposal has not been finalized. There's still, inquiries have to be made about that, and the Fish and Wildlife Service will make a final determination at some undefined time scale. And so that also has been a controversial move by the Fish and Wildlife Service. Some people think it's long overdue to do this, and other people think that it's premature to do so.
And those who think it's premature, is it because that the wolves are no longer occurring throughout their historical range, even if there are populations that are viable in certain areas?
Yeah, it has to. The people who think it's premature to delist wolves throughout the lower 48 believe so because the Endangered Species Act is clear that a species should occupy a really sizable portion of their historic range before they can be considered no longer endangered. And the way it currently stands, wolves occupy something like about 15% of their former range. And while it's hard to know what the ESA expects precisely in terms of how much former range needs to be occupied, it seems reasonably clear that 15% is nowhere close to the mark. And but it's a complicated issue. It's one that has been heard in court cases, and the Fish and Wildlife Service has a history of losing court cases that are related to a significant portion of range. And the reason that it's hard to figure out is basically because we as a society can't answer the really kind of basic question, what is an endangered species? How many of them do there need to be before we no longer consider it endangered? We can't answer that question as a society. It's partly a science question, but it's partly a values question. And as long as we don't have kind of a broad understanding of what that means, we're going to be faced with troubles like this about not knowing whether species should be endangered or not.
As you say, most of these decisions are not necessarily made on values. How do you see values playing out here in Michigan with regard to the wolf hunt?
It's mostly values because, science can't tell us whether we should hunt something or not. Science gives us important facts about what will happen if we do hunt and what will happen if we don't hunt. But science usually doesn't tell us what's right or wrong. And so this is really a question about whether hunting is right or wrong. So it's just mostly about values, I would say.
You're listening to West Southwest. John Vucetich is a biologist at Michigan Technological University. The state's wolf hunt ended yesterday. WMUK correspondent and Western Michigan University Assistant Professor of Environmental Studies Brian Peterson spoke with Vucetich while the hunt in northern Michigan was still in progress.
Now, I want to move to the Isle Royale situation. Give us an update on what's currently going on with respect to wolf management on Isle Royale.
Right. So wolves on Isle Royale right now are at quite an elevated risk of extinction. And the reason they're at elevated risk of extinction is kind of a combination of a variety of things, most importantly inbreeding, and they're inbred because they're on a small island. But also climate change plays a role because there used to be frequent ice bridges that would connect the mainland to Isle Royale. And there's the prospect with those ice bridges that a wolf can immigrate from Canada to the island and then in this way ameliorate the inbreeding problems. Also, the two most important declines in wolf abundance on Isle Royale over the past have been associated with the presence of canine parvovirus, which is a disease that humans have brought to Isle Royale. And the most recent decline that we see in Isle Royale wolves also coincides with the appearance of canine parvovirus. And so that's the circumstance. And the decision that the Park Service is considering is, you know, what to do about that. And there's three choices that they're looking at. One is to do nothing no matter what, and if wolves go extinct, so be it. The other choice that they're looking at is to wait and see if wolves go extinct, and if they do, then reintroduce them, but until then, do nothing. And the third choice is to conserve wolf predation through an action known as genetic rescue, which involves bringing wolves from the mainland, bringing them to Isle Royale. Their genes would become part of the population, and the idea is that that would ameliorate the inbreeding problems that the wolves have there. So those are the choices. And the reason that it's complicated is because the purpose of the National Park Service, one of the key purposes, is to preserve natural resources. And for the better part of a century, the most reliable way to preserve natural resources has been to, you know, keep our hands off of protected areas, to let nature take its course, so to speak. But that philosophy, while it's been reliable for the past 100 years, people are starting to wonder if in a world of global change, in a world of climate change and exotic species, introduced diseases even, in a world of habitat fragmentation, if that philosophy may become less applicable, because the idea is that we should let nature take its course, except where humans have intervened, and then we should act to undo whatever it is that humans have done. Well, when basically every square inch of the planet has been affected by humans, that idea starts to lose a bit of its orientation. And so some people have proposed that a better purpose for a park is not necessarily non-intervention, but the purpose of a park is to maintain ecosystem health. And if that requires intervention, then so be it. And the way that comes into play on Isle Royale is that there's essentially universal agreement among conservation professionals that wherever there are large ungulates, like moose or deer or elk, that wherever there are those types of creatures, there should also be top predators to ensure ecosystem health. And so what happens is you have this situation where, there's a conflict between, you know, the value of non-intervention as compared to the value of intervening for the sake of maintaining ecosystem health. And so in a nutshell, that's why the problem is taken to be challenging. And whatever happens on Isle Royale, whatever decision is made is almost certainly going to set precedence for how it is that we'll respond to global change in other protected areas. You know, what will our attitude be? Will we work to protect those areas, or will we let the sad way to think of it is that will we let global change maybe take away some of these things that are thought to be so important for ecosystem health?
Now, as you said earlier, there is a very healthy wolf population in northern Michigan. What do you say to critics who argue that we shouldn't be spending so much time and limited resources on a very small number of wolves when we already have a very viable population?
Oh, well, Isle Royale is globally unique, I think, in the following way. Isle Royale has a place where there's an unpersecuted wolf population, where there's a moose population that's not hunted, and where there's a forest that's not exposed to commercial logging. There are precious few places on the planet like that. Even take a place like Yellowstone National Park doesn't even qualify, because both the elk the elk are hunted or have been recently, and then the wolves that are there, when they leave the park, they get hunted, and that's been an important cause of mortality for those wolves. And so to have these three trophic levels, predator, herbivore, and vegetation, where none of them are exploited by humans, is unbelievably rare on the planet. And then when you realize that the mission of the Park Service is to preserve natural resources for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration of this and future generations. So in other words, it's for us, for citizens. And then when you realize that every year something like 15,000 visitors go to visit Isle Royale and witness that beauty, then you realize Isle Royale is globally unique. There's no other place like it on the planet, and I think that's worth protecting. And really, the expense to protect it would be really relatively small. And we really just got to give it some comparison or context, over $1 million a year are spent trying to remove brook trout from Yellowstone Lake, for example, to help preserve cutthroat trout. And so the expense that would be required to help wolves out on Isle Royale would be absolutely trivial compared to the expense of just that one project in one lake in one national park. You can give another example, the Everglades Restoration Project. It's one of the most expensive, most creative, longest-lasting restoration projects in all of human history. And that project is expected to be completed in maybe 20 or 30 years' time, which is maybe just one or two decades before climate change is expected to completely consume the Everglades through rising sea levels. And so this is something that's extremely expensive, and climate change is very likely to take it away from us no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably still a wise thing to do. And so I think that, when we talk about, oh, well, it's just a little insignificant wolf population and there's an awful lot of effort going into protecting it, I think that's a misconstrual. I think it's relatively little expense would be required to keep that population protected, and it would be for great benefit.
So give us a sense of what it would take, in your view, to restore that population. How many wolves? How many years? What would it actually require?
Well, you know, the park has not gotten to having that discussion. They're still concerned with whether they should do it. And so some of the statements that I am about to say are a little bit premature. I mean, there hasn't been enough discussion about the fine details of the question you're asking. Nevertheless, roughly, and it really got emphasized roughly, very roughly, what we're looking at is you know, a handful of wolves, two or four wolves perhaps, would have to be brought from the mainland to the island. And then they have to be monitored to see what happens. But that monitoring takes place anyways. That's the kind of work we do anyhow. So that's in an important sense incidental. And then if it takes hold, the beneficial effects of that introduction, then you're done. You're done perhaps for decades. And if it doesn't take effect, and there's a couple of things that can happen. You know, the wolves die at kind of a high rate normally. That's a normal part of their life history. And so if you brought a handful of wolves and they died before their genes became part of the population, then you'd want to be prepared to do it again in the subsequent year. But that's essentially what's involved. Really, in the scope of natural resource management, it's pretty minor. It's got to be done carefully and thoughtfully, but it's not, you know, compared to other natural resource management plans, it's not a big deal.
Most residents of Michigan don't ever come in contact with wolves. They don't know much about it. What do you say to people when they're asked, what's the value of wolves? What do you say to that? What is their importance in our state?
Oh, well, they have ecological value and they have cultural significance, too. I think ecologically, they have a large influence on the ecosystems in which they reside. They can affect ungulates, and ungulates affect the vegetation that's there. That's one thing that's important. Another thing is that we generally have the value, citizens in the state of Michigan and other states generally have the value that species that are native to the state, you know, should have viable populations in the state. And so that's an important aspect of things. Culturally, I think they're valuable because wolves are symbols. They're symbols of all of the things that we love about nature, and they're symbols of all of the things that make us uncomfortable about nature. It's been that way for a very large part of human history, wherever it is that wolves have existed across the planet. And so when we have conversations about wolves, we're very frequently having conversations about our entire relationship with nature. And so that we relate to nature, wolves, that we relate to wolves properly is very indicative of how it is that we're going to relate to nature in general.
John Vucetich is a biologist at Michigan Technological University in Houghton. He spoke with WMUK correspondent Brian Peterson. Peterson is also an assistant professor of environmental studies at Western Michigan University. The wolf hunt began November 15th in parts of the Upper Peninsula. It ended yesterday. This is West to Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.